Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup.
All of a sudden, the crash, and the boat fell sideways. And it fell sideways, and we thought that it was going to correct itself, but it just fell further and further until it was completely on its side, and people screaming and shouting.
It was a British ferry boat named the Herald of Free Enterprise, operating on the cross-channel run from Belgium.
And we thought, oh, the boat's just turning round. And the next minute, they were up like that, and the windows just literally smashed, and the water just gushed in. We tried to sit on the seats and hold the tables, and it was gradually falling down, and then the water was gradually rising, and we just couldn't grab hold of anything.
The sea was calm when the boat capsized, but the torrent that ensued was not.
The water was coming up further, and we were climbing up the stairs further and further because it was on the side. And we climbed further and further to get out of the water. And we couldn't smash the window above it. If they got any more, we'd been drowned. And then the rescue people came and they smashed the window and pulled us through.
A British soldier was among the panic-stricken passengers.
A lot of screaming going off. And, you know, after a bit, it calmed down a bit, wasn't it? Because all the lights went out, you see. And you didn't really know what was happening. And then next thing I knew, there's all these, life jackets floating about, so we started issuing life jackets.
This is Stephen Flay in Amsterdam. It's thought the 8,000-ton ship either struck a harbour wall or a sandbank, forcing open the huge cargo doors on the bow. The ship quickly flooded with seawater. Survivors have been telling of the ship suddenly starting to list. No one heard any bang or sound of collision. About 15 minutes after the accident, two helicopters started picking people from the side of the overturned vessel. The ship listed so quickly that it was impossible to launch lifeboats. Some people who jumped into the icy water perished, and many are thought to be still entombed inside. Amazingly, three people trapped in an airlock on the cargo deck were rescued by divers 8 hours after the ship went down. Nearby exercising NATO ships joined those from Belgium, the Netherlands, and Great Britain in a huge international rescue operation which continued throughout the night. At least 49 bodies have been recovered. 400 have survived. Most of the 80 crew are thought to have escaped. Stephen Flay for CBS News, Amsterdam.
In 1980, an intergovernmental panel had warned that if water got into the auto deck of such a boat, it could capsize so fast people on it would not have time to escape. The new aura of compromise enveloping the Geneva arms talks about medium-range missiles is bearing other fruit, most notably renewed speculation about another Reagan-Gorbachev summit meeting.
The White House has announced, through National Security Advisor Frank Carlucci, that Secretary of State Shultz will travel to Moscow in mid-April to meet with Soviet Foreign Minister Eduard Shevardnadze.
These talks will provide a good opportunity to review the entirety of our relationship, including regional conflicts, human rights, and bilateral issues, and to consolidate the progress we have made.
The most recent progress centers on the Geneva arms talks, where momentum is building for a treaty on medium-range missiles in Europe. Max Kampelman is the chief U.S. negotiator.
I think this round was a rather good one, not because of substantive agreements, which regrettably were not arrived at, but because we very much clarified sharply and clearly and unmistakably our differences and explained them to one another.
But White House officials are quick to emphasize there is no rush to arms control in the hopes of diverting attention away from the Iran arms affair. Hampton Pearson, CBS News, the White House.
The Secretary of State sees his upcoming trip to Moscow as a chance to move the ball along in the quest for arms reductions. Returning to Washington after a trip to the Orient, Shultz's mood was upbeat as he talked with reporters on the plane.
Secretary of State George Shultz, in his most optimistic assessment yet, now says the United States stands, quote, a pretty good chance of reaching an arms control agreement with the Soviet Union fairly soon. Shultz was talking to reporters traveling with him on a return voyage from Asia. Washington and Moscow are nearing an agreement on a total withdrawal of all intermediate-range missiles in Europe. However, Shultz says he wants also to press ahead for progress on reaching an agreement to cut long-range strategic missiles by 50%. And he said the U.S. will continue to press for a quick Soviet troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. Shultz returns to Washington on Sunday. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, with the Secretary of State at Hickam Air Force Base in Honolulu.
President Reagan is at the Camp David retreat in the Maryland Mountains for the weekend. As he left by helicopter, he vowed that the Iran-Contra affair will not paralyze the remainder of his White House years. He spoke of a slogan of the business I used to be in, as he put it, save something for the third act. And Mr. Reagan added, and we will. An apparent heart attack has taken the life of Nebraska's senior senator, Edward Zirinsky. He was 58 years old. Zirinsky had been attending the annual dinner of the Omaha Press Club, had been on stage taking part in a skit just before it happened.
Senator Zirinsky performed in the Omaha Press Club show, left the stage, and went to his wife, sat down, and complained of a chest pain. He then walked over to an area next to the stage and collapsed. He was in view of the crowd. I was close by when that was happening. It was a very difficult situation. There were 1,100 people in the crowd, and a major performer who had just performed just moments earlier had collapsed. So it was a very difficult situation for the cast and also the audience.
Joseph Vishnitsky was among those attending the press club affair. Zirinsky, a former Omaha mayor, was known as a fiscal conservative and something of a maverick senator. Bob Dole of Kansas, the Republican leader of the Senate, said rural America never had a better friend. Jazz drummer Buddy Rich is undergoing treatment for a brain tumor. Rich's business manager says the 69-year-old big band drummer is in the UCLA Medical Center. Rich's booking agent says the tumor is inoperable. He won't comment on whether Rich is undergoing chemotherapy. He says Rich is in fair condition and is resting comfortably. The search will be resuming in Greenburg, Indiana, for a woman believed buried under the debris of a collapsed 100-year-old building. Six people were hurt when the roof of the Greensburg Elks Club buckled and fell late yesterday. The week ended with a flurry of relatively optimistic economic reports covering where Americans work and what they buy. It made experts happier about the economy and more confident that it's picking up steam. A painful memo from CBS News President Howard Stringer to the staff yesterday. For those of you whose efforts and dedication have been so ill-rewarded today, I can only offer my deepest regrets. The network capped several weeks of apprehensive speculation by laying off more than 200 news division employees, part of general cutbacks expected to save more than $30 million annually. Among those let go, Washington-based correspondent Ike Pappas, a 24-year veteran, who says those remaining have the toughest job. They don't work for CBS News, he said. It has the label, but it's not the same. It's 10 after.